If you look at some of the strange weather patterns which we've had in India over the last 1 year, and stop a moment to think about what it really means, one would perhaps be persuaded to look at the issue of climate change in a bigger and a more significant manner. We've had cyclones off the coast of Mumbai, which were unexpected. In just the last couple of days, we've seen a record amount of rainfall in Delhi this time of the year. That's not supposed to be happening. About less than a year back, we had large chunks of glaciers breaking away from hillsides in Uttarakhand, resulting in a rise in river waters and the loss of life as well. There are few leaders in the world who look at the issue of climate change more closely than John Kerry. We have a wonderful opportunity today to speak to Secretary Kerry, who's here in New Delhi. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us. Your second visit to India in less than a year. Why? Why do you believe that this visit was essential to push through a certain message?
Well, for a number of reasons, and thank you for spending a minute. India is, together with the United States and China and the EU, were the four largest emitters of greenhouse gases. And we are number two, China number one, EU as an entity three, and India four. And India is a powerhouse growing economy. It's going to grow over these next years. And it's going to be critical that the United States and India and others join together to lead the world to deal with the problem of a climate crisis. The reason for the floods and the reason for the extreme weather and the rain and so forth is the warming of the oceans that is taking place, with more moisture rising up into the atmosphere and traveling around the world and dumping record levels. We've had them in the United States too. So between the fires, the drought, the floods, the mudslides, the warming, the glaciers melting and so forth, it is beyond time for people to get serious.
Yeah.
And I know your prime minister has committed to India to a very ambitious goal of 450 gigawatts of renewable energy over the next 10 years. We have announced a partnership working with India in order to help make that happen and join together on research, development, on resilience, adaptation, and do our part to try to address this crisis.
Secretary, is India, in your view, keen to become a zero carbon emitter? Because it's problematic in a sense. India has always argued that, look, the United States has polluted, their economy has gained. China says till 2060 they won't be following any of this. So therefore, the question being asked over here is, then why should India? How would you respond?
Well, I know that's the question being asked, and I understand India's point of view on that. The problem is that Mother Nature does not measure, whether it's Indian gases or China gases, measures the total amount.
Yeah.
And it's the total amount that we all have to deal with. No one country can reduce enough to solve the problem. And so, yes, there's a reason to be concerned about the fact that India is still developing. But the choice is not between developing and not developing, between developing or addressing the climate crisis. We can address the climate crisis and develop at the same time. And we can do it in a responsible way with many of the new technologies. Green hydrogen is something that I know India is very excited about, putting a lot of time into.
We discussed it yesterday as well.
Sure. And I think that it is one of the great possibilities. But we have to drive the costs of some of these technologies down. And all of us need to act, not because John Kerry or the United States say so, but because the world's best scientists, including scientists from India, are telling us we only have a short window of time within which to make decisions and implement them to avoid the worst consequences of the crisis.
And that really is my next question. If we breach that 1.5 degree Celsius mark, what happens?
The damages that we see occurring right now are happening at 1.2 degrees.
Right.
So we have a 0.3 cushion before you get to the 1.5. Every add-on of a decimal point of a degree as you get warmer means greater intensity to the problem, greater acceleration to the problem, greater heat that people are living in. And already people are struggling with the heat that we have. I mean, we lose 10 million people a year die around the world to the green to pollution.
Right.
And pollution comes from coal burning, and it comes from fossil fuels and automobiles, so forth, which is fossil fuel. So we need to address these things, and we can have a much healthier, much more vigorous economy, much more virtuous economy, a circular economy where we're caring about how we use things and what we do with them, and we can have greater international and national security by guaranteeing that we produce clean energy, we do it at home.
Right.
And that's where the world is going, no question about it. I think India and the United States can partner, which is what we're talking about, on the R&D, on the research, on the development of some of these technologies. And I personally am optimistic that we do have the ability to do this. It's not a lack of capacity that restrains us. It's a lack of willpower.
Right.
And so we need the leadership, and we have the leadership of people like Prime Minister Modi and others who are saying, we're going to do this. We're going to set an example. 450 gigawatts of renewable energy by India is a major challenge and accomplishment, and I'm confident India will be able to do it.
Would the U.S. be willing to join the Solar Alliance?
Yes, I think we're very much working through the details of that, and I would anticipate, hopefully, a final decision by President Biden somewhere in the next weeks even.
Oh, really? As early as that?
Well, certainly before we meet in Glasgow.
Right.
I think Glasgow's got to be the deadline on whether or not we're going to do that or not.
Yeah. You know, you spoke about thermal power briefly. Now, in as much as India has done or is doing a lot as far as renewable energy is concerned, we are also investing heavily in thermal power, 36 gigawatts of thermal power plants by 2025. It's difficult in this country that the population is huge, the economy needs to grow much faster. And the sense is that we cannot shift overnight, perhaps not even in 10 years. So that's going to be a problem. I mean, how do you stop these plans right now, realistically?
Well, India has the opportunity still to deploy a significant amount of renewables and not have to opt to deploy thermal coal fundamentally. That's doable. It's a choice you have to make up to a certain percentage. But you do, as a number of your ministers will always point out, have to make certain that you're taking care of your base load.
Right.
When the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining, you can't shut down. You have to continue to be able to run your factories, light your streets and homes and so forth. So we all understand that. But there is a capacity today with the new technology, with the increasing capacity of battery storage, the increasing capacity of alternative renewables. Solar is now significantly cheaper than coal. So there is room to grow the renewable energy base of India and bring online some of the new technologies, for instance, green hydrogen, that will allow us to be able to power things in a cleaner, you know, zero emission or less emission manner. Also, there are greater opportunities to do abatement, to reduce the emissions that come from the coal that is burned. Carbon capture and utilization and storage is a critical component. The problem is there isn't enough of it.
Right.
Now, India has some very old plants that are highly inefficient just by virtue of their age. Those could be reduced, and there's room to be able to retire some of those and bring, if you have to build one, a new one with the greatest degree of abatement that you can achieve in today's technology.
Yeah. Secretary, a lot of young people would be
and
watching.
Go to gas. I'm sorry.
And go to gas.
Because gas is already 50% less emissions than coal. And so you're gaining. Do we want gas for the long term? The answer is no, not in the United States. President Biden has set a goal that in the United States, by 2035, our entire power sector will be carbon free.
Right.
Not just coal free, but carbon free.
Carbon free as well.
And I believe we'll achieve that.
Is it your worry that India might end up being an outlier by continuing to resist the words zero carbon emitter?
No, because I think your leaders are all thoughtful and committed, and they understand the challenge. It's more a question of financial capacity. technology and the speed with which you can make the transition. I think it is incumbent on the rest of the world to be helpful in that.
Right.
The rest of the developed world. There are 20 nations that are responsible for about 80% of all the emissions.
Yeah.
Clearly, those 20 nations, ourselves included, carry an added responsibility to help address this.
Sure.
And President Biden accepts that, and so do I.
A last question to you. A lot of young people would be watching this program. What are the top four or five things that young people or people like any of us can do to try and improve the situation around us?
Well, young people have already been lighting a fire under the so-called adults of the world who have not been doing the job. I mean, let's be honest about it. And I think young people have been calling everybody to account for conscience as well as practicality. It's their world. They will inherit in the future. And they sure as hell want to inherit a world that's, you know, viable. And so we have a special responsibility in this meeting of the United Nations to come up with real solutions and to move this forward. Now, young people can also be making good choices. Choices about the kind of vehicle they're going to drive, if they drive.
Right.
Choices of what kind of goods they buy, from where, foods they choose to eat or not. I mean, there are all kinds of personal choices everybody can make every single day about lifestyle. And no one should be ordering people to do that, I don't believe. There's freedom of choice,
yeah,
particularly in a democracy. We pride ourselves in that. But we want responsibility. And that responsibility demands that you begin to make the choices that help to make a difference. I, as of last year, I was late in doing this, got an electric car. I love it. It's so much better than what I had. It's wonderful to drive. And I think that, and I feel great, you know, driving by these gas stations where everybody's filling up, and I know I'm not contributing to that.
Right.
Ultimately, we'll have a virtuous electric vehicle cycle also, because obviously today we're still burning fossil fuels and so forth to produce the steel and the aluminum and the parts of a car. Eventually, that will come with green hydrogen or battery storage.
Yep.
That'll be clean. And then you'll have an even greater contribution from electric vehicles than you get today.
Right. Well, Secretary Kerry, your second visit to India in just a year, and looking ahead at Glasgow, it's obviously quite a challenge for you and leaders around the world. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it, Secretary Kerry, speaking about the challenges ahead. It's going to be difficult going into Glasgow. There are many countries and many leaders that he's going to have to convince, and a lot of arguments which need to be dealt with as well. We'll be tracking these developments very, very closely. For the moment, it's time for this short break.